It's time for our monthly catch-up with RNIB's campaigns team. We look at some of the big projects that are on at the moment. We'll tell you about some of the successes, and we'll also hear from some of the volunteer campaigners that can make a huge difference. We're also hoping that you will get involved as well if you're blind or partially sighted and there's something which is causing you problems. It could be cluttered streets, it could be cars parked on pavements, it could be problems with public transport. Well, you can get involved at a grassroots level, get lots of support from RNIB and the campaigns team, and really make a difference locally and nationally. Now, we have with us Costa today, who's going to be joining us each month to tell us about the big campaigns. Costa, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Now, we're going to start first of all today with some news on one of our volunteer campaigners.
That's right. And in the recent local elections in England, Rosa Gomez was the only blind or partially sighted candidate standing for a seat within Redbridge Council. And she was successfully elected as the Labour councillor in her ward. Getting involved in RNIB campaigning work helped transform Rosa's outlook and gave her new confidence to get involved in local campaigning and to eventually stand for election in her local council. I spoke to Rosa about her involvement with RNIB.
I am registered blind. No sight at all. I was introduced to the RNIB some years ago and I began to receive assistance such as the telephone counselling scheme, which was of enormous help. I got involved initially because before I was a very active person, politically active in my work. I was a manager, I worked in the refugee sector, I worked with my local community. So the thought I couldn't do all these things affected me profoundly. So I started to get involved. I wanted to be a voice. I wanted to do things. I wanted to be out there. I wanted to be seen and I wanted to help. I've always been a people's person. So being active in my community was paramount and that was my thing. As we would say back home, I was in my salsa then. That was very much me, and I could identify myself. And my sight was no longer an impediment. I was able to tap into my previous skills, into all the things I did. I had a life once more.
Rosa told me it was participation in RNIB campaign's civic leadership programme, which marked the start of her journey to become an elected councillor.
When the RNIB organised this civic leadership program, I applied for it and I came along to that, and the CLP campaigning there was one of the things that encouraged me and gave me food for thought that I could do it all over again, that I could get politically involved and be a voice, not just the wider community, but in particularly the VI community and the disabled community in my area.
With newfound energy and some guidance on civic campaigning, she learnt a lot about local issues and how to resolve them.
Following the campaign run by the RNIB, I was very active in contacting my local authority when there were things that would enable me to walk safely, such as objects that were placed inadvertently on my way, but overhanging vegetation. Walking on paths where, and this is very typical really of there where I live, it's the vehicles parked on part of the pavement and on the other side of a hanging vegetation. So getting attacked by overgrown shrubs and having to go on the road in order to get from A to B.
We also talked about some of the key issues Rosa thinks must be addressed in order to improve inclusion for blind and partially sighted people.
Certainly looking at the employment side of it, that we need to campaign for more employment to be available, educational as well, to open up more opportunities for people to study and get into college and universities. Also for us to be seen more, to be heard more. The RNIB was here for me from day one and is still here today. We're important members of the community. We are taxpayers and we've got to have a say and we've got to be behind the RNIB as well.
Fantastic news and well done to Rosa there, Costa. And we are looking for more people to get involved on a voluntary basis. We'll give you the contact details a little bit later. But a couple more topics to discuss and we're going to London for this one.
That's right. And we know from all the local campaigning we do just how difficult it can be to walk safely down a street that has advertising boards on the pavement. Now another item is appearing on our streets. In late 2017, dockless bikes first appeared in London and then spread across the UK shortly after. Dockless bikes are a form of bike sharing, and as the name suggests, they don't need to be returned to a fixed docking station. When a user ends their journey, the wheels automatically lock and the bike can be left anywhere. So when bikes are left in that way, they physically obstruct the pavement and they present a trip hazard, especially to people who can't see them and who use mobility aids. Whilst not all areas have dockless bikes, they are an expanding market and are envisaged to be in general use across the country. Our streets should be obstruction free, and we'll be campaigning on this issue, and there are many ways you can get involved. You can collect evidence of dockless bikes that cause an issue and send them to campaigns@rnib.org.uk. You can send in stories about how dockless bikes have affected your day-to-day journeys, and you can send in ideas about what you think would work to solve the problem, such as the best place to park them.
I suppose getting people to maybe take pictures as well, if they're out and about, if they've got someone with them that can take a picture, that probably help as well, Costa?
Evidence is key to get a sense of the scale of this problem as well.
All right, let's move on to one final topic, and just to remind people, we'll give contact details at the end again if you want to get in touch with RNIB about the campaigns or indeed volunteering. This time, quite a big topic, Costa, once again, it's social care.
A recent Care and Support Alliance survey of nearly 4,000 people has revealed a shocking picture of how a widespread absence of care is making many people unwell, unsafe, and unfed. So one in four are unable to maintain the basics, including washing, getting dressed, and going to the toilet. One in five have gone without meals due to a lack of care and support. And one in eight told us they've been delayed leaving hospital because of not being able to get the care they need. This is leading to unnecessary pressure on the NHS, and it's pushing carers to breaking point. So the CSA are writing to the Secretary of State for Health and Social Care, Jeremy Hunt, to tell him that enough is enough. And we're asking if you can help show how important this is by adding your name to the letter. It will only take a minute, and the more signatures we gather, the harder it will be for the government to ignore. So please visit the Care and Support Alliance website to take their action and sign the letter today. Visit www.careandsupportalliance.com.
Fantastic. And, you know, as with many of our campaigns, Costa, you know, there's lots of help and support for people if they have any kind of issues. You know, we're not just talking about the campaigns we talk about. It could be things that are causing them problems as well. They can get in touch with you for help and support.
That's right. And as always, if you'd like to get involved with campaigning, we have some great resources to help you, and we can put you in touch with your local regional campaigns officer. Just visit rnib.org.uk/campaigns or call our campaigns hotline on 0207 391 2123, or why not drop us an email at campaigns@rnib.org.uk.
Brilliant. Okay, well, we'll catch up with you again next month for more from the RNIB campaigns team. But in the meantime, Costa, thanks for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks very much, Alan.